up some things that you might want to consider when you actually roll it out, and also show you a little bit about, well, kind of the fun things that you can do with using command line utilities that VCP is actually comprised of. Before I get started, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Christian Sysatki. I work for VMware. I'm an engineer, and I'm the engineering lead for Consolidated Backup. So one thing I would like to mention at the beginning is that VMware Consolidated Backup is called Consolidated for actually a number of reasons. One reason is that we tried to make the interface or the utilities that you have at your disposal to perform backup on the remote backup proxy, as well as when you're doing backup directly on the service console. We've tried to make these interfaces as similar as possible. So just a few words, what can you actually do with VCB? Well, you can run VCB on a dedicated proxy that's a physical machine running Windows. And what that actually gives you is the ability to perform offloaded backup. Backup that's offloaded from your ESX box that's happening outside your virtual machines. You can either perform full virtual machine backup where you export the virtual machine you want to back up into a set of files that basically almost look like a workstation, like a virtual machine. Or you can perform file-level backup for Windows guests right now, where you actually take the VMDK files that belong to a VM, and you actually look inside the VMDK and give backup software running on the physical proxy access to the files that are within the file system that's contained in the VMDK. So backup is basically based on a snapshot of the virtual machine. So a typical workflow would be the virtual machine gets snapshot, and then the snapshot data is being backed up either on the proxy, as I just described, or in a smaller environment, it might actually happen at the service console. And the utilities that you can now use for that are basically it's an evolution of what we provided with Perl interfaces here in earlier versions of ESX in ESX 2.5. And some of the best practices I want to mention here actually apply in both cases when you're running backup on the service console or when you're running on a dedicated virtual machine. So one thing I mentioned is that snapshots of virtual machines, when they're happening outside the virtual machine, they're usually based on snapshots. So that's not only true of VMware Consolidated Backup. There are actually a lot of backup applications out there now that are virtual machine aware and that are targeted for this environment. And the way they basically work is that the virtual machine gets snapshot, and then the backup is actually performed on that snapshot. And I would like to spend a little bit of time talking about what actually happens when we snapshot a virtual machine. So what you need to do in order to be able to do the backup, you have to make sure that the disk images that your virtual machine is using are in a stable state that your backup application can copy out, because you cannot allow the virtual machine to write into a VMDK file while you're still backing it up. In that case, you wouldn't be able to get a usable backup. So what we actually do is we add a file to each virtual disk that's called a redo log that essentially absorbs incoming writes from the virtual machine while the backup snapshot exists. And those redo log files start out at a size that's like 16 megabytes in size. And they can actually grow on demand. Usually these files are relatively small compared to the base disk they belong to, but the workload that you're running in the virtual machine actually has impact on that as well. If you have a workload running in a virtual machine that has a pretty random I/O pattern, then of course the redo log is going to grow to a much larger size compared to a workload that only deals with a fairly small set of files. There was something that was a little bit of a concern to people in ESX 2.5. Basically, when a redo log grows, so when we have absorbed 16 megabytes worth of writes to blocks, then we actually have to grow the redo log, and that requires VMFS on-disk metadata to be changed. And since VMFS is a distributed access file system, we need to have some kind of locking mechanism in place to prevent multiple ESX hosts from trying to modify file system metadata at the same time. And with 2.5, there was a concern that if you have lots of virtual machines that perform lots of I/O and they all are being snapshot at the same time, that the operation of growing these redo logs might actually lead to some log contentions. And first of all, in 3.0, the situation is improved to an extent that the amount of time that we actually need to hold that log has been significantly decreased. So there is a lot of contention just by using VMFS3. And in general, it's a good practice if you want to do backup on multiple VMs simultaneously, that you should probably pick VMs or group VMs in a way such that you keep the number of ESX hosts that are involved in the application low. It's actually not the number of virtual machines that is creating the contention. It is actually the number of different ESX boxes involved. So you can basically leverage things here like affinity rules for resource scheduling to keep a set of VMs on fewer machines, or also how you lay out virtual machines on different LANs, of course, here has an impact because the locking issue is actually something that's on a per LAN basis. So basically planning how you want to lay out a virtual machine disk space also helps to mitigate that. Another thing that is specific to VCB running on a backup proxy is backing up virtual machines that have fairly random I/O patterns and that have pre-existing snapshots. So the way VCB basically works is that we enable backup that is offloaded off the ESX box by basically locating the data that comprises the virtual machine snapshot on the SAN, and we transfer this information about where the data is actually laid out on your physical storage. We transfer this information to the backup proxy, and then the backup proxy uses this information to actually fetch data directly off your SAN storage array without going over the network or through the ESX box. And usually that information is very, very compact. So typically if you have a look at a VMDK file on a VMFS file system, it's, I would say, probably fairly unlikely that you might end up with the disk file actually being split up in maybe more than a dozen extents or so. So the information is fairly compact. However, if there is a pre-existing snapshot and the virtual machine has random I/O patterns, what you can actually end up with is a redo log that's fairly large, representing this pre-existing snapshot, and that might actually also fragment the way the data is being laid out on VMFS. Of course, it's only temporary, because the moment you delete the snapshot, the data from the redo log gets committed into the base disk, and you have a fairly clean, you're back to having a fairly clean layout. But if there is a pre-existing snapshot, the information that describes the layout of the data on disk can become fairly large, And, well, it just means that you might end up actually wasting a lot of resources on the proxy to actually store that translation information that enables us to directly access the data of the SAN array. Any questions so far? I guess everybody's still in lunch coma. One question that comes up occasionally is, well, how can I actually size a VCP proxy? How many virtual machines can I back up? And, well, as the answer to many questions, it's basically, well, it depends. So the trick is to figure out what actually is your bottleneck. So essentially the way the data flows is you read it off the VMFS array, you move it across your SAN fabric to the backup proxy, and then from there you might push it down again to your SAN fabric off to either some tape, or if it's full VM backup, what we actually do with full VM backup, we export the virtual machine into a temporary holding space. So the performance that you can actually get to that holding space can also have an effect. So let me maybe spend a little bit more time explaining the difference between doing file level and full virtual machine backups using VCB. So what we actually do for file level backups is we take the snapshot of the disk images and expose the snapshot to the operating system that's running on the VCB proxy. So in that sense, VCB itself doesn't move any data at all. We just enable third-party backup software, for example, to see the data that's contained within the VMDKs. However, when you perform a full virtual machine backup, what we actually do is we take the virtual machine and we actually move those bits and export the VMDK disk images to a temporary storage that can basically be any file system that the Windows proxy can write to. So for a file-level backup, if you're seeing something like C, VM37, letters C, for example, then what you're actually seeing is it's a mount point, a junction point. When you look at a full VM backup, you get something like C, VM37-full-VM, and you see a set of files there. Those files actually do get created on the proxy. So a common pitfall here is that that holding space, for example, might be a disk that's local to your ESX host, sorry, to your VCB proxy. And in that case, that means that you basically have a single spindle that all the I/O is going to, compared to VMFS being SAN storage, which is typically, you know, I/O being spread out across multiple disks. So one thing that might also be worth considering when dealing with full VM backups, since there is this extra step of exporting the VM involved, it might actually be a good idea to consider running a low, meaning, I don't know, 2 to 3 numbers of jobs like that in parallel to get overlap in the I/O when you actually pull the data off VMFS using VCB and when your backup application goes ahead and moves it to well, whatever your backup target is. So, in essence, what that means, I mentioned that already, that you might actually want to consider having some holding space that might consist of multiple spindles as well if you're doing full VM backup. Another thing that is coming up fairly frequently is that people don't want to use the administrative user and the administrative password for a virtual center to actually perform backup. Since backup is an automated task usually, there is no user around that can type in passwords. So the information actually has to be stored on the VCB proxy in order to log into the virtual center server or to log into a single ESX box. So the good news is you don't actually have to have administrator doing that. Virtual center actually, Virtual center actually allows you to perform a fairly fine-grained control of permissions that you assign to a particular user. So what virtual center has, it has the abstraction of a role. A role is basically a set of permissions, and you can then take a user and associate a user with a particular role. So the good news is for VCB, there are only like four privileges that are required in order to perform offloaded backup. VCB proxy needs to be able to create and to delete a snapshot. If you're performing full VM backup, we also need the ability to pull the configuration information of the virtual machine off the ESX host, and that's the allow virtual machine download privilege. And the privilege that's called diskless actually refers to the ability to obtain the information about the location of a particular disk on the SAN and then pull the data directly off the SAN. So that's actually a fairly limited amount of privileges that user has to have. So in that case, you don't have to worry about this user, I don't know, powering on or powering off virtual machines or deleting virtual machines or something like that. Any questions on that? Yeah? Okay, so the question is, what about the consistency guarantees that VCB actually gives when you actually create a snapshot? So what we do in, what actually changed in VI3 is that the snapshot is now a per virtual machine entity. So we can actually get the guest operating system involved in helping us to get to better consistency. So at the minimum level, what you get is crash consistency, meaning the snapshot actually looks like in a physical world, you would just pull the power cable and you get a state that represents a certain point in time, but there aren't necessarily any consistency guarantees. However, with ESX 3.0, we can actually give better guarantees here. So what we do when you actually snapshot a virtual machine, you can now actually specify that you want to create a quiesce snapshot. And what the quiesce snapshot actually does is we talk to the operating system that's running the virtual machine using VMware tools. And the first thing that you can do is you can provide a custom script that we would run before the snapshot actually gets taken. We can perform application quiescing, for example. The second step that actually happens, which right now is Windows-specific, is that we have a driver now that's part of VMware tools that flushes dirty buffers down to your virtual disks and makes sure that the file systems on the virtual disks are actually consistent. And it also holds off new writes that come in from applications. And once you're at this point, what you actually have is something where you can guarantee file system consistency, or even better if you have provided scripts to quiesce applications. And then, of course, when the snapshot is being taken by adding those redo logs to all the disks, we actually go ahead and we thaw the I/O stack, and we also allow you to we also run a post-thaw script if there is one, where you can basically undo whatever quiescing has happened to the application. Yeah?
Are there any issues running VCB on the same physical hardware as virtual center?
Question, are there any issues running VCB on the same physical machine as virtual center? The answer is yes. Right now we actually have a restriction with running VCB and virtual center on the same physical host. It's basically related to image customization in virtual center, which right now unfortunately is mutually exclusive with VCB's ability to mount virtual disk images. It's something we're looking into, but in general, you can argue that you might want to run maybe the virtual center server on the VCP proxy, but I would advise against running the UI on the VCP proxy, because the proxy actually has access to all the SANLANs that store your data, because it has to back up data from there. So I think you probably want to reduce the amount of exposure to users that particular machine has, and lock it down and not allow users to log in on this box in general. Yeah? Okay, so the question is, for full VM images, what is the maximum size of the holding disk LAN? Well, the holding space where we export virtual machines to, it can basically be anything that Windows can write to. So it's basically anything that you can put NTFS on. And in that sense, the question actually becomes, what's the maximum file system size that Windows can support with NTFS? And I'm not sure what the limit is, but I think the last time I checked, there was like 64 terabytes or something like that. So it's actually not the limit that's exposed by VCP. Yeah? Okay, so the question is, are we doing any sort of compression when we perform this intermediate copy? Basically, what we are exporting the disk to is the VMDK format that we opened up, I think, a couple of months ago. And what that basically means, that during the export, we identify areas of the disks that are either zeroed out or that are unused, and then we don't actually export these. So in that sense, we perform some basic level of compression by eliminating areas that are marked as unused or areas that are all zeros. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Oh, so the question is, why does the post-thaw script get executed before the snapshot is taken? I'm sorry, maybe my explanation was confusing on that, but basically when we create the quiescent snapshots, the following steps are performed. The first step is we execute a pre-freeze script if it's present. The second step is we freeze the I.O. in the VM. The third step is we add those redo logs, which actually is the actual snapshot create operation. Fourth step is to thaw IO in the guest. And finally, the fifth step is to run the post-thaw script. Yeah? So the question is, are there any plans to make this application aware, to provide some kind of integration? Typically, I guess the applications that people want to integrate with is Exchange, SQL Server, or Oracle. And while, of course, I cannot make any official statements in terms of products and roadmaps, but it's definitely something that's actively being looked into by engineering. Yeah? Question, is it possible to get VCP to just take an export of the system disk, for example? And, well, that actually kind of leads to the second part of the talk. It seems there are lots of questions. I would actually encourage people, if you feel that there isn't enough time to get the question answered, I'll be actually at the Solutions Exchange at the VMware booth today, I think, from like 5 till 8. There is a station that's labeled VMware Consolidate Backup, so you can find me there during the reception. So if you don't get the questions answered, please come and see me there. So one thing that kind of is related to the question that just came up, whether you can export just the system disk. What VCP basically is, it's I would encourage you to see it as a toolkit. It is essentially a collection of command line utilities, most of them available on the VCP proxy as well as on the console OS of the ESX server. Some of them are specific to the VCP proxy, some of them are specific to the console OS. On the VCP proxy, what you also see is this thing called JScript framework and integration module. That's basically how we integrate today with third-party backup applications. There is a scripting layer sitting on top of these command line utilities, and there is an integration module that is specific for each backup software that is being integrated with VCP that actually drives the process. And in essence, nothing actually prevents you from scripting certain things using these command line utilities. So in essence, the answer to this question whether you can export just a system disk is yes, but you need to do a little bit of scripting using these command line utilities. And just to give you a brief overview of what is actually there, there are utilities that allow you to do things like search for particular virtual machines. You can modify snapshots, meaning you can create snapshots, you can delete snapshots, you can search for a particular snapshot, and you can get the properties of a snapshot, basically what disks are actually part of this snapshot, what files. Then there is a binary called VCB mounter, which drives all the work in the most common usage scenarios, such as integrating with a third-party backup application. VCB mounter basically automates the entire process end-to-end. You run VCB mounter, and it will snapshot the VM, and it will either export the VM, or it will mount those disk images for you. Then there is VCB export, which actually allows you to export a single disk out of a VM snapshot. And there are a couple of utilities that are only available on the backup proxy, some of them are only available on the service console, and those available on the service console are mostly dedicated to restoring full virtual machines. There is VCB restore, and there's a utility that allows you to query things like a list of resource pools that your virtual center server knows about, or a list of folders that can actually contain virtual machines. So usually when you have a look at how the integration modules work for third-party backup applications that we have today, usually most of them essentially just call VCB mounter. But by using all these tools, you can actually do some non-standard things and tailor things to your particular environment if you want to. And basically, I picked two examples of what you can do. Is one thing you can do is you can export an entire virtual machine and actually pull a single file out of the exported virtual machine. Another thing that's there is you can pull a single VMDK file out of a snapshot of a virtual machine, essentially getting a backup of only a single VMDK file. And are there any questions so far regarding command line utilities? Or yeah? So the question is, what about snapshotting RDMs, and are there issues with snapshotting RDMs? So what we're using here are essentially software snapshots that we implement using redo logs. So with RDMs, there are actually two different flavors of RDMs that ESX supports. There is RDM in what's called virtual compatibility mode or physical compatibility mode. And you can actually snapshot a VM that has an RDM that's in virtual compatibility mode, because in that mode, we're still able to add a redo log on top of this RDM. When it's in physical compatibility mode, then essentially all SCSI I/O is directly passed down to the LUN that corresponds to the raw disk map. And in that case, we are not able to snapshot the virtual machine, because you're essentially operating in a mode that's mostly passed through. Yeah? So the question is, what about having a VM that has, let's say, one RDM and one VMDK? What you can actually do with any disk, you can actually mark a disk as what's called independent persistent. And that actually means the disk is exempt from snapshotting. So if you do that with an RDM, for example, you are still able to snapshot the VM, but when we do a snapshot, we would essentially just ignore the disk that's marked as independent persistent. Pardon? Well, with an RDM, what you can do is you can either put it in physical or virtual compatibility mode. Yeah? Any performance impact between the two RDM types? I would say let me put it that way. When you add a redo log to an RDM, you're going to see a slight degradation in IO performance, because as soon as the redo log is added, all writes are actually not going to the RDM anymore, but are trapped into the redo log. So you're going to see a hit here. But in normal operation, when you don't have any snapshots around, I think the performance difference you would see between physical and virtual compatibility is probably fairly negligible. And it's more an issue. The big difference essentially is, maybe if you have some applications that are directly dealing with hardware that are very, very sensitive to the translations that we usually do in our virtual SCSI stack. So I think you probably wanna have physical compatibility mode probably more if you were to encounter any compatibility issues with some applications. Yeah. So that's so clustering was just mentioned. So right now it's also not possible to snapshot virtual machines that are clustered, because in that case you actually end up with two virtual machines being able to write to the same disk. So that's something that's currently not supported, because right now a snapshot is actually considered a per virtual machine entity. All right, so let me talk a little bit about scripting and what you can actually do by using these command line utilities. So the first question that I get occasionally is, I have a full VM backup and I want to get a single file back out of these images that VCP Mounter created. And, it's actually possible to do that, and it's actually fairly simple. When you have a look at what you actually get when you export a virtual machine, you get a bunch of files. And there are a couple of files that basically describe the virtual machine's metadata, like the VMX file that contains the mapping of drives to SCSI targets, or the amount of memory that the virtual machine is supposed to have. And then actually you see a bunch of VMDK files that essentially look like what you would find in VMware Workstation, essentially. So these VMDK files consist of a fairly small metadata file and then a bunch of files that actually contain your payload data that are up to 2 gigabytes in size, to make sure we don't run into any issues with large file limits that some software might actually have that needs to manipulate those. So if you have a look at what we actually got here, we have a virtual machine here that apparently consisted of 4 virtual disks. And what VCP actually does when it exports the virtual machine, we actually prefix the disk name with the SCSI device ID that particular disk was assigned to in the virtual machine. That's basically to make sure that the disk name is actually unique. And in that case, you can actually just use MountVM, one of the command line utilities available on the proxy, take all these disks and tell your VCP proxy to actually mount them. So when you run your command, you will see that MountVM actually detects all the volumes on these VMDKs, and we actually look into the registry that's on the boot drive to actually determine mount points. So if we go back to the prior slide, there was a target directory here specified, EMNT VM37. And so what you actually get is a bunch of junction points. There is EMNT VM37 digits and EMNT VM37 letters. And in digits, what you get, it's basically the raw information that where we just mount disks as we go along. And in letters, you eventually get junction points, where a junction point actually corresponds to a drive letter that particular volume was assigned to in the virtual machine. And if you have seen VCB at work, if you have seen file level backups being done with VCB, I assume that directory structure looks probably fairly familiar. Another thing that's in here is an option that basically tells Mount VM that we want to override the GUID that Windows puts onto a disk when it gets initialized, because potentially you might want to mount multiple VMs. And if those multiple VMs were all created off the same template, then actually these GUIDs wouldn't be unique anymore. This is usually not an issue because one VM usually doesn't see another VM's disks. But in that particular use case, you might actually end up with mounting more than one VM in parallel. So once that's done, you can basically use Explorer or whatever you use to browse your file system and pull a single file out of your VMDK file. And when you're done, you can use Mount VM to unmount, where basically all the operations that get done during the mount step actually get undone. And the good news is it's actually fairly simple to script this and to automate this. And I did that, and I have to admit I'm more familiar with Bash, and in that sense I just used a Cygwin script. And it turned out the Cygwin script is actually fairly simple. It's like 30 lines of code to do that, and you specify a directory that contains the virtual machine data that you exported, and another directory that basically is the mount point where you actually want the virtual machine to be mounted at. And that's just to give you some kind of idea of what can actually be done using VCB when you're willing to do some scripting in a fairly simple way. And you can probably like let your imagination go wild and think about other things you might potentially want to do, like maybe some cataloging of files here or something like that. And it can actually be used for lots of things, and it's actually a fairly powerful thing. And the second example that I wanted to point out is what the gentleman asked earlier, whether it's possible to back up just a single disk out of a virtual machine. And again, it is possible, but in that case, the script is a little longer than 30 lines, but not by that much, fortunately. So here is just a run through of how you would actually script that. So the first thing is you have to locate the virtual machine that you actually want to deal with. And you would use a tool like VCB VM name for that, which returns you an identifier for a particular VM. And you can search VMs using VCB VM name, for example, by IP address, or you can search for a VM based on its display name or based on its UUID. Once you have that identifier that points you to the VM, you can use VCB snapshot to actually create a snapshot of the virtual machine, which is the basis for a backup. And then you can use VCB export to just pull that single disk that you actually are interested in onto your VCB proxy. And when you're done, again, you use VCB snapshot to remove the snapshot you just created. And there is a single disk. And script could look something like that. You just pass in all the credentials that you need for connecting to a virtual server, to a virtual center server instance. And what you also want to specify is what disk actually you want to export. So in that particular example, I would look for a VM based on its display name. It's a VM belonging to my friend Samir. And I want to export the disk that's mapped to SCSI adapter 1 target 0 in the VM, and I wanted to export it in a file called bootdisk.vmdk. And essentially that turns out to be, I think, about 100 lines of scripting. So it's actually it's actually fairly doable, and it gives you a lot of flexibility what you actually want to do with these tools. And summing up, I would actually like to encourage people to not view VCB as an end-to-end solution, but as a toolkit that can either be used by using an integration module and then have third-party backup software driving your backup process, or you can actually do a lot of scripting yourself and tailor it to your environment. And I think there are lots of questions, so if people have questions, I'm more than happy to take them now. Yeah? Okay, so the question is, how many vendors do actually interoperate with VCB? And when VCB originally shipped, VMware provided integration modules for four applications, which basically covers the products from Veritas, from Legato, and IBM TSM. And by now, I think pretty much every major backup vendor either has integration modules shipping or has them announced, and they should become available actually shortly. So the question is, who supports the integration? And in that sense, the question is, who provided the integration module? For integration modules that VMware provided, of course, VMware supports those integration modules. But in the longer term, going forward, I think we can actually expect to see a deeper integration with VCB by the third-party backup vendors, and to an extent where they would actually have clients that are aware of VCB-driven backups and would support these directly. Yeah? So the question is, what about restores? And in order to bring a full virtual machine back, you would actually use a full virtual machine restore. Because if you have a file level backup, you would basically run into the same problem that you're running into with a physical machine. If you know your physical machine, your hard disk dies, you have to get DOS back and probably the backup agent, and then you can restore your file level backup. What you can do with VCB or in a virtual environment, you can back up the entire VM, performing a full VM backup. And so for restores, there are basically two different scenarios. When you want to do a full virtual machine restore, what you would actually do is you would use your backup application to get that set of file back that the virtual machine was actually exported to. And then currently we have a command line utility that you can use on the service console to take that set of files and turn this set of files back into a virtual machine that lives on your VMFS storage and is registered in the same resource pool that was in and all that stuff. For file level backups, it's basically at that point pretty much at the hand of the third party backup vendor that VCB integrates with. And there are a couple of scenarios depending on how the integration works. A typical scenario is that you would actually group virtual machines into logical groups, you would group VMs that belong to a specific department, for example. And then what you can do is you can actually do what backup applications usually call a redirected restore. So the backup was actually taken on the proxy. And from the backup application's point of view, it looked like the backup was actually data that's associated with the proxy. So what you can actually do is you can create multiple aliases pointing to the proxy and use that as a way to provide a more granular assignment of privileges for restores. And for restores, what you can do is you can, for example, deploy one agent in a virtual machine that belongs to that group, and then use that agent to do a redirected restore and basically delegate this to the person who administers the virtual machines for that particular group. But I think that's a topic where in the future we'll also see a deeper integration with backup vendors. Yeah? Okay, question about support for iSCSI. So let me put it that way. There is a support answer and there's an engineering answer. So officially, VMware right now doesn't support VCB with iSCSI. But the reason is that VMware, in order to declare support for it, we have to go through a QA cycle and actually acknowledge that, yes, it does work as expected. And so we haven't done that yet, which is the reason why it's not officially supported. But when you have a look at, for example, all the VMware online forums, there are actually quite a few people out there who use VCB in conjunction with iSCSI. And VCB is based on pulling data off SCSI devices, essentially. So in that sense, from an engineering point of view, it's SCSI, but it's not officially supported because it hasn't been tested to an extent where, let's say, we could say, okay, we declare full support for it. Yeah? So the question is, since EMC owns Legato, what about an integration with VCB and Legato? And Legato Networker was one of the products that we actually supported through an integration module, basically right from the day when VCB shipped. So we provide integration modules for products from Veritas, IBM TSM, and Legato Networker. Any more questions? Sure. Okay, file-level backup for other OSs than Windows. Well, again, I cannot commit to roadmaps or timelines, but it's definitely something we are looking into, and I understand that people want to back up. Yeah, so what's the problem, what's the issue? So the way VCB works is we basically take these virtual LANs So the way it actually works is we make up something that looks to the OS like, let's say, a USB device that it just plugged in, like a disk that just got added, and then it's actually up to the operating system to use the file system implementation that's part of the operating system to read the file system in the VMDK. And since right now the proxy runs on Windows, we can do NTFS, we can do FAT. With EXT3, you would probably be more comfortable with looking into creating a similar architecture that runs on Linux. There are drivers out there for EXT3 that allow Windows to actually access EXT3, but things like the permission model are significantly different between Windows and Linux, such that I'm not sure you would be comfortable backing up, doing a file system backup for Linux running on a Windows machine. So you could use SIFS for that, have, let's say, some Linux box around somewhere. But then again, you have this issue with permissions being translated, like all the access bits that Unix maintains. It's a totally different concept from an ACL-based system that Windows uses. Yeah, I have probably time to take like two more questions. Yeah. Pardon? So are there any plans for other operating systems than Windows as a proxy server? It's basically the same issue. It's what the issue is or what makes it difficult right now to move the entire architecture around is when you want to do file level backups, you're basically using the OS. So that's the reason why right now it's tied to Windows. Mm-hmm. that so having like one, excuse me, having like a machine for each flavor of operating system that you support, that would be a possible scenario. Yeah? Pardon? I cannot comment on that. Yeah. Okay, so the question is how is it actually possible for the proxy to see that the data that's on the VMFS file system to actually mount this LUN? And actually, there's another talk that happened earlier where I was talking a little bit in more detail about that. So basically what we do is, once we created the snapshot, we use an ESX machine to figure out where the data is actually physically located on your SAN device. And then we transfer this information to the VCB proxy, and we use this information to essentially remap reads and pull the data directly off the SAN. So that's like how it works in a nutshell. Pardon? Well, there are if you're interested in a high-level overview, yeah, there was a talk about that earlier today, and there's, I think, a pretty usable description in the slides. All right. Yes, so the idea is to do offloaded backup.